You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
Dude, you can't be mad at someone who's burning the flag and also wearing it on your dick.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Dice World Studios in San Antonio, Texas, this is The Social Hour. On today's show, author Dante Therese, and now your host. After hearing that Joe Biden is handing out pardons, he's starting to think maybe he wasn't such a bad president after all. Dice Casillas.
Mala Keen, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Dice. You know where you're at. Thanks for coming back. Thanks for telling a friend. As usual, go and give us a good rating on Spotify, Podcatcher, iTunes. I don't think that exists anymore even, but wherever you listen to your podcasts, give us a good rating. Helps in the algo. Those algo gods need a sacrificial lamb. So let them know and tell a friend, and we appreciate you being here, guys. Success, I think this is 4 weeks in a row I put a show out for this twice weekly show, and more recently, bi-weekly show. But I'm trying to get back on schedule. I did pretty good this year for 2024. I think we, you know, out of 52 weeks, I think we did about 40 shows. That's pretty good. But as you guys know, I've been busy traveling more, getting the home steady and the militia ready for the oncoming Armageddon, which is going to happen one way or the other, I'm sure. And yeah, I got to bury my shipping containers out here in Texas, make sure I'm ready to go. And also, as you guys know, the comic book Kill Stan, which was just released, we've been touring that around. It has been a hit. Believe it or not, we've had some film studios, some animation studios talk to us. Nothing you've heard of because they're not big, but there's something, and people are liking it. We've getting tons of reviews rolling in for the comic book, so we are I'm pleased with that. If you've read it, send me a review. Number two is coming out sometime soon after the first of the year, probably early February. And if you haven't read it yet, what are you waiting for? Hit me up, follow us on inferno.earth, or go to Inferno Earth is the website. You can order directly through website, or just message me and we'll get you your copy. We got a couple cool variants. I got an exclusive holofoil variant coming out soon. You're gonna be able to see that. So just hit me up, check it out. It's not just for comic book readers. I've had a lot of people who've never read a comic before pick it up and love it. So it really is a character piece about loss and trauma and the crazy things we do when we feel like we have nothing left to live for. So it's not just vigilante capes, tights, anything like that. This is a much deeper story that's gonna come swinging for you when you think you're just gonna have a fun little fanciful ride. Fooled ya! There's more. So, and also go to deececomedy.com. Check out everything going on across the network. Live shows, live dates. Still doing the comedy, of course. Got to pay that mortgage. I will be at Silver Spoons in New Braunfels, Texas this Saturday night. And Upstage Comedy Lounge, the premier comedy location in San Antonio, Texas, this Sunday the 8th. And then I will be in North Carolina next weekend. So check my website for those dates, tickets availability. They're going fast. But check it out and come see a show. And that's it, guys, for the announcements. We're going to get into it with our guest all the way from near-ish to North Carolina, Pennsylvania. Please make some noise for Dante Therese. Dante, how are you?
I am good, and I want to say congratulations with the comic book there, and I'm glad that fish are biting.
Thank you. It's been, It's been a lifelong dream of mine to create a comic book. I love comic books. I've written a million things in my life. I've published books. I've written for websites and shows and film and sketch and obviously comedy. But comic books I love, and it's been great to get it out there, and it's been extremely well received. Yeah, I mean, people, it's hitting the way I wanted it to hit for people. So it's been, that's exciting.
Good. Excellent. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you can relate to that when it's getting, you know, connecting the way you want it to.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Dante, you're in, you said Pennsylvania. What are you from Pennsylvania out there?
No, actually, I am a serial mover.
Mm.
And I have, you know, packed my bags and schlepped around the country quite a bit. And let me see, this is
on the run from the feds. I get it.
No, actually not. Believe it or not, I was running around pastry chefing.
Oh yeah, that's the euphemism they're using now.
I was getting people ready for that semi-glutide pen or whatever it is that they're using.
Yeah.
I was building up their carbs.
All right.
And yep. And so let me see. South Dakota, Georgia, New Jersey. I was in the Berg at one point, Pittsburgh, and now I'm on the left side of Pennsylvania.
Where are you from originally?
Let me see. Born in North Carolina, spent, you know, a little more time than average in New York area. So
okay.
I guess you could say New York.
You're an East Coast person, though. Besides North Dakota, which I don't blame you for leaving.
It was actually South Dakota, but
oh, South
yes.
Dakota. Yeah.
Yeah. 9 months of blizzards, 3 months of tornadoes. Gotta love it.
Was it a restitution? What made you have to go to South Dakota?
You know what? On paper, it looked pretty good, and I decided to try out the West. It looks like now that there's these shows like Yellowstone and stuff like that, everyone's trying out the West.
They're
none
romance.
Of them asked me first. Yeah. You know, I could have told them, you know. You know, when you hear the tornado siren, you know, get down low.
Yeah.
But anyway, they'll find out. But so I was there for 5 years. I went kind of all around the state and, after one of the longest blizzard seasons there was, I decided, I'm going to go down south and remember why I didn't want to stay in the south. The further down you go, the bigger the insects get.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, you're in Texas, so I think you could probably feed a family of four with the spiders you get out there, right?
Yeah, you know, there's some tarantulas we come across, but I mean, every now and then, but they're harmless, you know. And I've got 20 chickens out there, so they take care of the bugs.
Okay.
You know, and a lot of the critters, and I've got a couple stray cats I feed that take care of anything else out there. So yeah, I think we're okay. But I mean, they're around. Certainly you go out in the hill country, there's bigger spiders. There's terrain, you know, scorpions, and although the scorpions are little, they're mysterious little guys. They're like little, you know, they're like the fentanyl of the insect world. They're small, but they pack a punch, you know?
Well, when I was in Florida, there was some type of species of spider there that wouldn't string up webs. It would string up nets. I mean, you could play volleyball with those things.
Really?
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it like the, I wonder if they're orb spiders. So.
Yeah, I think that's probably it.
Yeah, I go to Central America a lot, and they've got these things called orb spiders, and they're about the size of your fist. And they actually weave such a tight web that in parts of Central and South America, some law enforcement actually use it as like bulletproof vests.
Oh wow!
Yeah, they layer it, and because it's so it's so unbreakable, it's crazy. I mean, you pull it, it's like feels like rope. You know, it's wild.
Well, it's curious that we're on that kind of sort of subject because in my new book, The Base, and that series that I'm writing, One of the lead characters is a military entomologist. Okay. And what that means in layperson's terms is he is an expert on insects. So when I was writing, I had to study a lot of those spiders and such.
Crazy old insects. Yeah. Someone who is a expert on insects. That is a life choice that, you know, you're just committing to never having a girlfriend again at that point, right?
Well, he does have a wife. I don't know how that happened, but she seems to be fine with the fact that he's a military research scientist and that their house is comprised of many, many insect tanks and all kinds of accessories and such to feed them with. I myself would prefer furniture and a computer, but they live a little differently, those folks.
Sure, sure. Were you a military kid or what? How'd the military thing come about then?
Well, when I was in South Dakota, I made some friends on the military base out there and got to visit and stuff like that. I also visited a base in the South. I really liked the military, the people that I met, you know, and the culture there. It's like if someone's having a baby, everyone runs over to that house and gives them the old baby clothes.
Yeah.
And cooks a meal for them and stuff. So it's a really tight-knit community. I like that. I am the daughter of a research scientist.
Okay.
So very, very intrigued by all things scientific and stuff. I'm someone who likes to think, perhaps a little too much, but I've been told it's good for you.
What did your dad was the research scientist or your mother?
Yeah, no, my father.
What did he research?
He researched nuclear medicine and cancer.
Nuclear medicine. What is nuclear medicine?
Nuclear medicine is
that's how we end up with the X-Men
when you're getting like radiation and stuff like that. A little scary.
Yeah. So he was for like early chemotherapy stuff.
Yeah. Well. The old school stuff. I mean, that stuff has grown in leaps and bounds now. They, my friend just had the type of, let me see, it's called the gamma knife.
Oh my God.
And that's what Eddie Van Halen could have had if the pandemic wasn't happening.
Did Eddie Van Halen die?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he missed out on that chance to get the gamma knife. But my friend just had it, and it's just like they can actually target. It's almost like a laser beam. They can actually target the one bad cell in your lung.
Yeah.
Rather than subjecting your whole self to radiation.
Interesting. So it's like a focused burst of gamma rays, which is definitely how the Incredible Hulk was made. So we got to worry. So now we got to worry about, riots in the streets, insurrections, and Incredible Hulks. That's crazy. So like
you should see the outfit she had to wear.
Just green pants. Purple pants, just purple stretchy pants, right? And a torn shirt.
No, they make you wear this shield that covers absolutely everything but where this little light beam goes.
Sure, yeah. How did she feel afterwards?
Actually better than when she had radiation for another procedure. This is like super targeted though.
Interesting.
Yeah, but she said that other than being tired, I mean, that, you know, she felt much better and she didn't lose her hair.
Is it a one and done or is it like multiple sessions?
She had five within like 8 days.
Interesting.
And she sort of described it as a video game. There's a guy behind the console there and he's just like zapping that one little cell.
My God. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still shook that Eddie Van Halen died. I had no idea. I mean, it's fine. I wasn't a big fan or anything. It's just I didn't realize. I'm bad at that type of stuff. I had a lady a while back at a show. Mm-hmm. She had a hat on that said like something disruption something is. It was the name of a Guns N' Roses album, I guess. And I'm okay. You know, I didn't know what it was. I'm like, yeah, cool. And she goes, yeah, great album. I'm like, oh, is that a band? And she goes, no, this is the name of a Guns N' Roses album. I'm like, oh, I didn't know. And she's like, you don't know this Guns N' Roses album? I'm like, I couldn't name one Guns N' Roses song, lady. I'm like, this is going to get much worse. And then she named some Guns N' Roses song. I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, I've heard that song. But also, you're going to get more mad because if you would have put a gun to my head, I would have told you that was by Poison. I had no idea. I'm just bad at this. That's not my genre at all. So
I thought you were going to say that she was wearing tinfoil on her head. Another popular hat.
That is another popular hat. We probably would have got along more then. I would have been like, tell me about the Anunnaki living in the center of the earth and how the Jews control the weather. Let's go. That's at least entertaining, right? I'm like, this could be fun. I'm not saying this is real, but this is going to be fun. So your dad inspired you to write, or at least partly as a daughter of a researcher inspired this book. When did the first book release? Because you got a sequel coming out January 1st. So that's coming soon. When did the first book release?
July 4th.
Oh, so recently.
Yeah.
And what was the inspiration for? Is it your first book you wrote?
No, I wrote one before that, and that one has a slightly spicy title, but not a lot of spice.
Sex, Death, and Diane. All right.
But the series is. It's about. I'll put it this way: you get these military research scientists, and they're working really, really hard to make this top secret invention and this top secret base. And that's the base where they send you if you're a little too smart. You're not going to get transferred to one of these other big ones. You're going to get shoved over there. So they're working really, really hard to make this invention. But at the same time, spies and thieves are working to steal the invention. So what could possibly go wrong?
I don't know. You got to read the book to find out, right? Yeah. and that was the first book, and that's kind of the pitch for that. Where did you put it out? Where do you release it?
It's on Amazon, and this one is called The Base Book One, and the next one, as you know, is coming up, and it's the spies, the thieves, and every couple of weeks or months, the military is going to give you a new list. And the list lists all the attributes that your invention is supposed to have. And so they're going to round up a bunch of these quirky scientists, and they're all going to have to get along. They're all going to have to work together, even though they're a little bit quirky. I mean, insect expert could be quirky. And, so they round these guys up, and they each put some of their attributes and skills into making this invention for the military within the deadline. And like I said, the spies and the thieves are just dying to steal this thing. So what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Now, are you looking for a third book down the way, or is second one the end?
No, I am currently writing the third one. I am adapting it to a screenplay. And the audio book version of book one just came out, and book two audio version is in progress also.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, what now? I mean, you don't have to tell us what you do, but do you have a day job? Is this writing is what you do? Delve full time into this.
Let me see. I am a baker pastry chef.
Oh, you said that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of, bakers are scientists. You know, we have to weigh everything and measure everything. So, when you work in a kitchen, the chefs and such, I mean, they add a pinch of this. They do a little bit of that. They're not like precisely weighing everything and stuff. It's because they can taste it. I mean, you can't, take a wad of French dough and then taste it,
Yeah.
It's French bread dough. It's just not too appealing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the best pastry?
Oh, it depends on what camp you're in. Like, the first question I always ask
Catholic,
people.
I'm Catholic, so I don't know if that helps.
Okay. Well, the first question I always ask people is, do you like really dark chocolate or do you like milk chocolate or lighter? And that tells you about what level of sugar they like.
I'm a less sugar guy. I don't have a sweet tooth.
Then you're probably going to be, the dark chocolate sort of person. And that gives me an idea of where you stand on the, you know, on the sweet spectrum. And then I can look in the fridge or see what we have and then maybe tailor it a little bit to your liking.
Mm-hmm. Does fruit belong in pastries? Settle this debate.
Sure. I know people who put bacon in pastry.
Bacon?
Yeah.
I could take like a little like a pierogi type thing, you know, or like there's these little things they make down in Central America that are kind of like a croissant, but with, they put cheese and bacon in them and stuff in the morning, or sausage. Ooh. So, you know, it's like a Hot Pocket, but with less cancer in it.
A caliente pocket.
That's right. That's right.
That's what my coworkers would say.
you guys have Mexicans out there in Eastern or Western Pennsylvania?
Sure.
Do you?
Yeah. Pretty much the whole country.
I don't know about that. As a Latino, as a card-carrying Mexican, I find pockets everywhere I go where I start talking. I have jokes about being Latino and talk about being Mexican. And people start looking at me. I'm like, do you guys have Mexicans here? Like, what do you guys?
You know what? Come to think of it, in South Dakota, there's just like one little town with one little authentic sort of like Mexican grocery there where you can get, you know, the lime and stuff like that.
Yeah.
To make, the proper tortillas and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's about all I thought about all I saw there. Yeah.
That's about all they want there, I think, in South Dakota. They're like, well, that's plenty. Like, keep it, take it easy, guys. are you gonna stay in Pennsylvania now that you're there? Are you gonna move? Are you gonna keep those traveling pants on?
You know what? The Rust Belt is so interesting. The Rust Belt is the area that used to have so many more people.
Right.
And then the factories and the mills shut down and one third of the population left. And so you have on the one hand, you have some kind of renewal happening. Like there's the Penn Ohio Clay Guild. They took over this abandoned building. And they've been working on it, and they are they're going to make that into a place where all of the people who do like work with clay and stuff like that can just go in and use one sort of community kiln and fire stuff up. They had a smaller location that they did this in, but now they took over this really big building that kind of looks like a castle. And we joke around and call it the White Castle, but there's no burgers there. But so you have some revitalizing that's happening, with the artistic community, which is really cool.
Yeah.
You also have some buildings that just fall down.
Yeah. The revitalization is happening better there than other areas. It's like I always laugh about Detroit. Detroit is so, like, the outskirts of the city of Detroit got so dilapidated because everyone left, and there's just these houses that people were trying to sell for, $1,500 or $5,000 just to get out of them because they, and so the nature just reclaimed all these neighborhoods. There's like trees growing through houses and stuff. And then more recently, developers have gone in there and found that like bears are now living in all these houses because they just are like, oh, like a prefab den. We're good.
Well, in South Dakota, like some of the areas that aren't rejuvenating, the families will donate the house to the fire department to teach the younger firefighters that are just joining the force how to put out a fire. So they'll just burn it.
Yeah.
And then teach them.
And yeah, well, there you go. Just burn it down. That's a good.
Yeah.
So you like the Rust Belt. You're going to stay out that way, you think?
I think so. I don't really feel my itch happening, itch to throw everything into, a pastry bag and go run off and to test out the next spot. Yep. Yeah.
Well, you can be a pastry chef anywhere is the good news.
Yeah. Yeah. This country likes its sugar.
That's
and they like their bread too. And I do bread too.
That's too. That's true. What kind of, you mess with those ancient grains where you only do, that enriched sugary stuff. It's what do you do?
Let me say, I do what the market will bear. I mean, if you go to a place, a town, and there's like no veggies on the menu, and no veg and, vegetarian or vegan cuisine or stuff like that, you can more or less, tell that they, that they're not going to be receptive to, the new stuff. And,
right.
So stick with the tried and true. And if you want, you can show them a little twist on something, but don't go too far off the beaten path.
You make donuts?
Yeah, I've done that.
What's your favorite donut?
Actually, my favorite donut is Zeppeli.
I'm sorry, what?
Zeppeli.
Okay, well, this is...
I'm Sicilian, Zeppeli is, and every country has it, is fried dough.
Fried dough.
Yeah, every country has their own version of it. I think the Mexican version is the churro, where they squeeze it out a tube.
Yeah.
Zeppeli is much less formal than that. They're actually kind of ugly and craggy and stuff because you just grab a hunk of it and you throw it in the oil.
And then what do you do with it then?
Then you get it out of the oil and you cover it with powdered sugar. So anyone who eats it is going to have powdered sugar all over the front of their clothes.
All right. I like that.
Sounds like a plan.
Is canola oil killing Americans?
There's so many conspiracy theories about food. I really think it's who's got the bigger lobbyist.
Yeah.
Because you remember, I mean, back in the day, sugar was a curse word. And then we went to high fructose corn syrup. Well, now that's the F-bomb.
Yeah.
And so now they're saying, oh, sugar is natural. And and so it just kind of vacillates back and forth. You just have to, keep track of like what the all-purpose Satan is for the moment. And right now, I think, I think high fructose corn syrup is still a little bit on the fish list. Maybe getting off the fish list, and maybe sugar will be the next Satan. I don't know.
It's hard
to keep track of Satan. He's a busy guy.
That's right. Got a lot going on. It is hard to believe that the FDA, when originally organized, they approved 700 ingredients, and now they have over 10,000 that they accept. It's why our food is so much more fucked than other food. Like the in the UK and stuff like that, ingredients are way different than in America.
Well, in France, they have they really, really have very strict laws about what can go into the food. And so the only permissible additive into French bread that you can still call a baguette or call French bread is vitamin C.
Really?
Yes. And in Italy and in France, I believe, they have so many vineyards and stuff like that, that they're not allowing people to plant new grapevines. You have to get a grapevine from another vineyard and dig that up. And all these things have to be recorded and everything.
Yeah.
And so you get that grapevine, you dig it up, and then you can go plant it elsewhere. But everything is tracked. I mean, it's tracked more than dogs and cats are here. I mean, they probably have licenses for that grapevine, even though it's not going to hop over the fence and bite anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tracked more than America tracks immigrants, right? Let's go back to the writing. What's your coup de grace? What's the swan song? Is it the bass? Is this the story you want to tell? Or do you have something else coming up behind this that's like you're waiting to get that?
I am waiting to finish the Ice Walkers, but I just the part three of the bass was coming out of my brain, and I just said to myself, you know what? Someone else suggested making a trilogy. What happened, the reason why the bass became more than one book is that when I wrote the first book and I put it out, people were getting back to me and saying, you know, we don't want this thing to end. We want, they really liked the bug man, you know, our entomologist friend. He's the guy in the middle wearing that lab coat. And I was really lucky. I got three local actors to portray the main scientists in the book. And so that's Dennis Liverani in the middle there, portraying the bug man. And people were really attached to the bug man. I mean, he's not making insect phobes gag or being afraid or anything like that. He's just very quirky, very funny. And you don't really, even if you're a certified bug phobe, I mean, you could sort of laugh along with him and think he's cool.
Yeah. So there is a, you said there's an, the Ice Walkers. That's a book you're, that's the one you want to do next?
Yeah, that'll happen when I'm done with book three on the base, because okay. when my proofreader was done with book two on the base, there's villains, as I mentioned, and she was very enthralled by Venus, the very, very wicked, wicked female villain, the spy without any principles at all. She just wants stuff.
Yeah.
And the only way to get stuff is to trample on everybody and get, you know, steal stuff, and then she can get stuff.
Yeah.
That's her currency. And so our proofreader wants to see more of Venus, because Venus is very inventive with how she tramples on people and how she gets stuff.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The books, how long does it take you to write a book?
Well, that sort of goes around the concept of if I get any sleep.
Okay.
Because sometimes I'm one of those people, and I'm sure you can relate because you're a creative soul, that sometimes we try to go to sleep and our mind doesn't go to sleep.
That's true.
The ideas can sort of pop like popcorn and keep going. And so you say, okay, I'll be 5 minutes. I'm just going to write this one thing down. And half an hour later, no, just give me another 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're, yep. So you can relate. And so, you know, it just, you know, depends on how much sleep I get. But I think, you know, I probably will continue my, let me see, my pattern of being a creative insomniac and spit the book out pretty quickly.
Yeah. How much time, I mean, are you writing every day? Do you have like a schedule of let's write 4 or 5 hours a day or word count?
No, I write every day. And one thing that I write every day, which has gained a lot of attention down here in the Rust Belt, is I write this thing called the Sidewalk Report. And I'm supposed to take a walk every day, so I do. And I just bring my camera along with me, mm-hmm. and I take random pictures, and I write it, and I post them onto my Facebook, which is under my name, Dante Therese, if you're curious to see some of these things. But some of the things I have found out here, you know, I'm just kind of shocked by it. And then I say to people, hey, look what I found. And sometimes I even say, you know, anyone know what that is or anything like that? And then other people are chiming in and telling me, you know, oh, that thing, you know, that mural on that side of the building. Well, that's been there since 1911 and stuff like that. And they point out all kinds of things. And the funniest thing I got the most comments on is there's this building that collapsed and burned and such. And in the back of it, there was this plant with these really, really big pods. And if you've ever been to the Rust Belt, I mean, wherever you are, you can throw a rock and you'll hit a dollar store.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. They're very prolific. I mean, so I said to folks, these pods were from Invasion of the Body Snatchers. These things are going to open up. It's right before Halloween, and Body Snatchers are going to come out, right? And then someone said, no, they're going to pop open and a dollar store is going to come out.
Sounds about right, huh? So Rusta loves their dollar store. What is it? Dollar Store, Dollar Tree, Dollar General, Family Dollar? What
Family Dollar, with? I mean, you name it. And the funniest thing about them is that There's nothing in a dollar store that costs a dollar.
Yeah, yeah. At least in the Dollar Tree, they're like $1.25 is their starting point now, which I, but I mean, Dollar General, there's nothing that's even $3 in those places. They're like, that's like a, just a, that's just a, you know, like a gas station with more square footage.
Yeah.
Their prices are crazy.
Yeah, we joke about it being a front for things that aren't the dollar.
Yeah. So, Dante, we're going to do a small segment at the end of this show that we do with most of our first-time guests called The Rundown. It's just a series of random questions that we ask in no particular order. And they don't mean much, but, you know, if you were an FBI profiler, they might start to paint a picture of someone and who they are. So, no pressure. There's no wrong answer, but also you want to win that new car. So, here we go. First question. We talked about, you know, fruit in pastries earlier. Let's talk about fruit in general. If you could only have one fruit for the rest of your life, any fruit, perfect fruit, you get to decide, but now it's the only fruit you can ever eat again. What fruit would it be and why?
I think I would request a banana and I would tape it to the wall at a gallery and then I try to sell it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That worked out well.
That did work out well. Got the. Yeah. I read a thing today that guy who bought it ate the banana.
Wow. I wonder that if got a little spendy. I would think that he would want to, like, you know, use cryonic technology to freeze that thing, and you know,
hey, here's the genius Banksy art side of it is eventually you just shit it out onto a canvas and now it's new art made from $65,000 art or whatever you bought it for. You can sell it for $100,000. You just upped your game.
Let me see now, isn't that what they're calling like repurposing right now?
Shitting things out, eating them and shitting them.
No, selling something to you twice. I think that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's called taxes.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right, you said you're working on a screenplay, converting one of your books into a screenplay. Let's talk about a movie about your life. They made a movie about Dante Therese. What, who would play you in the movie and why?
I'm wondering if there's someone out there who it has the, who's peachy enough and can't stay away from dark chocolate enough.
Oh, okay.
I'm wondering who fits that bill. I mean, maybe RuPaul. I mean, he can be a little peachy.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Going, Hollywood does love a good race swap in movies these days. So, and I would say gender swap, but I'm not sure which way Rue is going these days. There you go. RuPaul as Dante Therese in the story.
Yeah, and when I lived down south, the word that used to start with a B that rhymes with rich was, when I lived in Georgia, everyone would use the word peach or peachy as a substitute for that.
Interesting.
When you're in Georgia doing your stand-up, you got to, you know, work talk about in, being peachy.
Okay. I'll let them know. If aliens came down to our world and we're going to, you had to describe Earth and our ways to them, how would you describe humans to aliens?
Does this mean that I'm not allowed to, like, carjack their vehicle and go back to where they came from?
You can try to do whatever you want.
No, but I mean, what I would say is, did you guys toss your planet around this badly? Because if you didn't, I mean, a lot of us might want to go there. But let me see. I would say, how would I describe Earth? I would describe Earth as being tossed around quite a bit badly recently. But we do hope that it sorts itself out. And if it doesn't, you know, what is that? A hitchhiker in the galaxy? I'd like to be one.
There you go. Yeah, it doesn't sound too bad. If Who, if you were a Bible character, who would you be and why?
Oh, man. You know, let me see now. If I were a Bible character, who would I be and why? Let me see. I'm trying to think. That is a tough one. I like the idea of parting the Red Sea, though.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. That takes muscles. I mean, that's
well,
cool.
Or it just takes faith, according to the Bible.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that does sound cool. I think I would like to be able to do that once.
Okay. Yep. We're going to dive back into your past. Do you remember your first kiss?
Oh, who doesn't?
I don't know if I do, but I might have to think about it. But tell us about your first kiss.
Well, I think our cat tried to slip me the tongue when I was about two.
Okay.
Because I had some of that dribble going down my face, and you know, she had OCD and she always wanted to, you know, cleanse me, and her tongue felt like a scouring pad.
So the cat was your first kiss? That was it?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I can't say that I am as pure as Newfoundland snow. She took it away from me.
Well, it happens, you know. What is the most dangerous animal that you think you could take to a fight to the death with your bare hands?
What is the most dangerous animal that I think that I could take with a fight with my bare hands? Does this mean I'm going to tell you my snake stories from South Dakota?
You might be.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, one time when I was brand new there and I didn't realize that, you know, that sound that always sounds like cicadas in the background was actually rattlers. Yeah. I saw this poor little snake trying to cross a busy road. And I thought, oh, that poor snake. That was my vegetarian self thinking, oh, that poor little snake. So I went over and I grabbed the snake. And it swung its head around like it was going to do some damage.
Yeah.
And I panicked. And there was some grass on the roadside, which led to more grass and weeds and tumble stuff. And so I kept trying to hold my arms as far away from my body as I could, because it suddenly occurred to me that, you know, I didn't know what kind of snake this was.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing you should consider before you pick up the snake, but yours truly is not always the brightest candle.
You're in too deep now.
Yeah. So anyway, so I tossed the snake on the roadside, you know, where the weeds were, and it promptly, you know, slithered up and away from me. And you know, all the way, you know, walking home, I hear the sound of what I thought was cicadas. And then my neighbors tell me, no, this place is loaded with rattlers. Don't ever do that.
So you survived a bout with a rattlesnake. All right.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Did you say you're vegan?
I'm a vegetarian. I can't be a vegan because that means chocolate is off the table and butter's off the table and Parmesan's off the table. Can't do it.
So vegetarian, is it a ethical thing, dietary? What's your reasoning?
You know, I guess I'm kind of lucky that, you know, I never really liked it. You know, I mean, I know every 4th of July, it's strange because when you're a vegetarian, if someone's cooking like veggies, you know, when you open up a can of beans or something like that, you know, you don't salivate.
Yeah.
Let's be real. I'm going to be real with you, okay? But when you walk past a barbecue, you salivate.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care how vegan you are, whatever like that. You know, I'm going to bust you. I mean, you're drooling.
Yeah.
But when I had burgers and stuff, it just wasn't my thing. I mean, I'm more about the carbs. I mean, I'll go to Thanksgiving, and I did. And, you know, I think I took all the mashed potatoes. Because everyone thought, oh, that poor girl, she's not going to have any turkey.
Yeah.
Nobody likes the turkey.
Yeah, turkey's no good. I'm a ham guy when it comes to Thanksgiving. Actually, usually on Thanksgiving, I make a duck. Duck is very good. So, all right. If you could get rid of, if you had to get rid of one state in the union, and which one would it be, and why?
Let me see. If I had to get rid of one state in the union, which one would it be, and why?
They're out, kicked out. We're going down to 49 stars.
We're going down to 49 stars. Let me see. I got nothing against Nevada. You know, and that's where all the casinos are and everything else like that. Yeah.
But they're the one.
Yeah. Because I mean, you have to fly over half of it until you see the bright part. That's the whole casino area made in the desert, like Las Vegas, I think it's called. I mean, Las Vegas. Yeah. You know, and, I'm still kind of ticked off at them because I lost some wages there.
Nothing
personal. I mean, but if they want to sweeten the deal and throw me a free invite or something like that, I may go back.
Yeah.
And I may reinstate them.
Yeah, reinstate them, kick out Iowa.
That's a good idea.
Okay, last question. What is your go-to karaoke song?
My go-to karaoke song, most people who go to karaoke are, you know, pretty much fall down drunk.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to win, you have to sing something that, you know, all these people can sort of stomp along to and sing.
Yeah.
You know, so let me see. I would say What I Like About You, you know.
Okay.
Because, you know, that's something the fall down drunks can, you know, sing along with and just, you know, throb with. And then maybe you'll win.
There you go. Easy enough. You're out to win karaoke. I didn't know you could win it, but you're looking to get that. You're looking to get the big prize.
The big $25 that the bartender hides underneath one of them rubber mats. I'll take it.
All right.
I have no shame.
Well, Dante, tell everyone where they can find your book, how to follow you on social media, etc.
Okay, so you can find The Base and Sex, Death, and Diane, my books, on Amazon. And you just need to look up Dante Therese, that is T-E-R-E-S-E. And the book is The Base, Book 1. Book 2 and Book 3 are coming soon. And they are on Amazon. As for social media and website, just type in my name. I am a girl named Dante. I know that everyone is expecting some 6-foot-tall basketball player. No, I'm a short Italian lady. Dante, like the poet. That's my first name. Last name, Therese.
All right.
And I am, that's the website. That's the Facebook and Instagram.
Perfect. All right. Well, guys, follow Dante. Check out her prior releases. Make sure you bookmark and get a release for that new one coming out January 1st, part 2 of The Base, and part 3 coming soon. Follow her on social media, get all the updates, and see what she's got going on. And as for me, guys, again, go to deececomedy.com. Check out everything going on across the network. We've got live dates this weekend, next weekend, and that's it for 2024, but we've got a big tour launching for 2025, so lots of dates around the country. But get the comic book Kill Stan. Inferno.earth is the website, Instagram, all that jazz. So that's it for the social hour. I've been decent for Dante. Thank you very much, everyone, and
thank you for having me.
Thank you, and we will see you all next week.